and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast sharing all the awesome since 2013. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThuol on Twitter.
And I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
And this is episode 140.
Round number.
Nice round number. It's a lot. Continues.
It is a lot. It's a lot, and given that we've had to take numerous breaks because of my crappy internet service, it's amazing. So.
Yes, indeed. And I have to go back. Did we start this in October of 13?
I think maybe we didn't put one out until November, but yes, we did actually get the domain names and everything in October because I got the email that it was coming up.
There you go.
So. Yes, but yes. I think we started putting episodes out maybe in November. We took a little prep time.
Yeah, so somewhere around here, we're coming up on our 4-year anniversary. So
scary.
Yes, indeed. Okay, we'll go ahead and get rolling right away. I get to kick things off for this week. And let me start it off by asking you a question, Mel.
Okay.
Are you familiar with a term called power line Ethernet?
Yes, I am.
I was not familiar with it.
Until, I have never used it, but I do know what it is.
Well, maybe after today's show you will, because that's my recommendation is about that today. So how this came about in terms of me having a recommendation for this week is I recommended this some time ago on the show, a utility called Rabbit. And Rabbit is this very cool environment where you can share a video with friends. And you can chat, video chat, audio chat, or just text chat while you're all watching the same video. And the only requirement is you've got to have that video able to come through a browser. So you could use your Netflix account. And if I'm credentialed to get into Netflix, I can bring up my account and show something on Netflix and invite people to my room. And they can all watch it along with me. And we can all interact, which is a great way to kind of on a more roll-your-own basis, do the whole kind of thing we used to do on the old sci-fi, bad science fiction movies and kind of get together and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the platform that our good friend Mike and I will at some point be launching Squat Cobbler Squat Cinema on, where we're going to kind of watch movies together. We're going to probably do our trial run of that. Fair warning to you, Mel, our trial run of that sometime in October. So we're going to kind of test and see how all that all works out. But it's a pretty cool environment. But as you might imagine, streaming video, potentially streaming video from multiple sources, not only the whatever you're watching, but people participating, that it can tax your network a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have for some time done all of our podcast recording and all of my work with Rabbit on Wi-Fi. And Wi-Fi starts to creak a little bit when you start to run that much stuff through there. And so I didn't really have a good environment to hardwire my technology downstairs where I do all this fun stuff. And so it became a question of, am I going to drill a hole in a floor and drop a wire? And that didn't seem to be going over well. And so I began to look at other options. And I thought, hey, I've got cable internet coming in. I've got actually a second modem. I'll just set up a second modem downstairs and hardwire down that way. Well, the way it works out with my internet provider is they are more than happy for you to utilize two modems, so long as you pay for two accounts.
Yeah.
So that didn't go over well. It's another option. So continue to look through paths. And so then as I was looking for options, you know, there are these Wi-Fi repeaters and things you can do to really strengthen your signal. And I've played with one of those before with tepid results on my end, at least. And then I came across this wonderful world of Powerline Ethernet, which basically uses your house's wiring to extend your Ethernet connection. So you can get you can buy a little package and get one device that plugs up by your modem, and you run one of the Ethernet cables straight out of your modem into the first one, and then you take the second one, and anywhere else in your house, you plug it into an outlet directly. You can't do it through a power bar. You got to go direct into the outlet, and then you run the Ethernet cable out of that, and you've basically extended your Ethernet in a more hardwired fashion throughout your house. I don't know if you noticed tonight, Mel, if my video resolution is at full quality. So for those of you who don't know, Mel and I may have mentioned in past shows, we record the podcast on Google Hangouts. We have the video running. just so that we can kind of watch each other's stunned reaction to comments and those types of things, pick up on visual cues like move it along, Kelly, or those types of things. But it's a way for Mel and I to kind of stay connected through the show. None of you ever get to see those videos, and none of you will ever get to see those videos ever.
No. we're voice people, not video. Video is not our friend.
Yeah, we're audio centric. And so,
yes.
And so while we record, we'll tend to a lot of times just to keep the bandwidth good and, you know, do the maximum for the audio, pull our video resolution down to lower qualities. Plus there's Mel's duct tape internet connection.
Yes. Which is funny. When I made that comment at the beginning of this episode, I had no idea that Kelly was going to be talking about how to improve his internet in his house. When I struggle to get any internet.
Yep. So specifically, I did a little bit of research, probably not what one would classify as extensive research, but I did some research prior to picking up my Powerline internet solution. But what I went with comes from Netgear, and it's Powerline 1000 is the name of the device, kind of multiple price point options. There's a Powerline 200, which runs you roughly $25 to $30, and that's going to get you 200 megabits per second speed through. Powerline 1000 gets you, as you might expect, 1,000 megabits per second or megabits. And then there's a Powerline 1200. And the Powerline 1200, so Powerline 1000, around $75 to $80. You get the two devices for that. You can go up another $20 and get a Powerline 1200. Which is largely intended if you're streaming 4K through your house and you want to kind of have that level of fidelity. I have a feeling I could have gotten by with the 200 for most of what we do, but I decided just to beef it up a little bit. They sell it a lot on the idea of lag-free gaming. If you're doing some things with gaming, that it's a way to kind of cut that off. But I went with the Powerline 1000. It fit, as we talked about recently, my approach to new technology implementation and the amount of research and instruction reading I want to do. I keep it to a minimum. I got kind of the 90-second rule. And for this one, I kind of opened up the package, pulled out the instructions, which were in the way for me to get to the devices, cleared that out of the way, unpacked the devices, plugged the one in, stuck it in, went downstairs, plugged the other one in, and boom, I was up and running. So zero setup, zero activity to kind of have to mess with, about as easy as you can get to go forward. And I played with it a little bit with Rabbit, and it was significantly better than my Wi-Fi based solution. I'm using it tonight. And so far, occasionally when Mel and I record this, we get a little warbles and stutters and things like that. We seem to be pretty solid so far, doing really well there. And also have a Roku downstairs, and all the Roikus have an Ethernet port out of the back of them as well. So I've played with that as well. And it's all worked outstanding for me to kind of extend my network throughout the house. And so probably going to go buy another pair to hook up to the main TV where, you know, we cut the cable, see a previous nurture and support episode about that.
Yeah.
But to kind of make sure that connection stays solid instead of just being a Wi-Fi connection. And there's another location in the house that's pretty far away. The Wi-Fi network starts to get a little bit weak there. So it's a thing. And so I know if you've wrestled with your challenges, I don't know if that's an option for you in terms of your setup or extend out or not. Because I don't know, when your stuff comes in, does it eventually result in an Ethernet cable, or what's the...
My setup actually, for the last, I don't know, year since my last internet change provider, I have what's called wireless internet. Basically, it means there is a ginormous antenna tripod mounted to my roof, and I have to have line of sight to a tower that's sending out a signal. So essentially it sort of works like cell phone data. So that antenna is wired to an outlet into my house, and then my router plugs into that. So my router then sends out a Wi-Fi signal, is the way that it is now. Before, I had a similar setup in that it was wireless, but it was actually back here where my computer stuff is, and it was actually wired to the router. So I had a wired connection. Now I'm on Wi-Fi. But the last time I looked into Powerline stuff was years ago when it first came out, and I had read that there were problems if you were in older houses that had perhaps not the greatest wiring. So if you haven't, it doesn't sound like you've had any problems with that.
I have not. And they do mention that your house's wiring needs to, you know, that there's an implication there that you've got to have the right wiring. But this is a 20-year-old home. And so it's not fuse wiring, you know, it's your standard wiring from there. But it's, I think it's probably that good solid piece of copper running through most of the wiring there that carries the lion's share of this work.
Yeah, I'm definitely in a position now with the way that mine is, because we moved the router basically to kind of the middle of the house, and my house is rather long. It's not two-story, but it extends far out, so our house is very wide, and I could give that a try. I had considered it at one point and then spent a whole lot of money buying a fancy Wi-Fi router that is way overpowered for the internet that actually comes into my house. I still think my choke point is basically my crappy wireless internet, but it could perhaps stabilize my internet, so I might give it a try, see if it helps. I don't think it could hurt anything.
Yeah, so I think if you're a heavy Wi-Fi household, doing a lot of things with it, and you're either long and wide like Mel's situation, which means your house has a remarkably low center of gravity, which you got to feel good about. But
it does, except they're drilling all around us, so we're going to fall into a deep sinkhole one day, yeah, and Mel will be gone.
Yeah.
So Mel and the corgis will be at the bottom of a limestone cavern in the wilds of Texas.
Yes. Low center of gravity and sinkhole doesn't help. So yes.
No.
I don't know. You might roll a little less. I'm not sure. But
maybe.
We'll see on that. But yeah, if you have a need to kind of say, oh, I'd like to extend my network out and have it act a little bit more like a wired connection, and you don't want to drop a lot of cables, take a look at this Powerline Ethernet. I'm super, super pleased so far with how it's worked out. And as I mentioned, ease of setup is outstanding. And it seems to be doing the job. And you've got options, because you can, like I said, go with the different speeds depending on what you're trying to do. And I don't have the need to have 4K coursing through the house at this point in time. But this other speed does allow me to, I think, do things like the Rabbit stuff. So my recommendation for this week is the Powerline 1000 from Netgear and Powerline Ethernet in general.
So when you're talking about adding another pair, do you just get add-ons, or do you still have to have like that base one, a new base one to plug in by the router to match another one? Or can you just add on ones and just have the one base unit plugged in by the router?
As far as I can tell, and on a future Nutrient support, we'll verify this, but it's an add-on kind of model, because there's really the two units that when you buy it, you get two units, one that does act as the base unit and the other one as the extender, but there's no difference between the two.
Oh, okay.
So they're just one's taking an input, the other one's treating it as an output. And so these will just be other places to extend from there. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that could help. We don't, because of the bad internet, we actually are not a very internet heavy household, because we don't have very good internet. And what internet we do have, I will admit to selfishly hogging. So I don't really allow other people to have access to things that stream, because they're going to use up my internet, and I need it so that we can make this podcast. So there we go. But I'll look at those again, because it's been years since I've looked at them in my house. I don't know about my wiring, but I guess we could find out. It's worth trying, since I have been thinking about getting us a PlayStation 4. So maybe
that might be a good time to try it out.
Maybe. Yeah. So we'll see. That's a good recommendation. I hadn't looked at those lately. So I'll have to look and see.
And I know I'll be listening to future Nutrient supports to hear if Mel recommends PlayStation 4, because I'm continuing to ponder what my next step is on that. So.
Yeah. You know, I hate to go Xbox, because most of the games that I'm interested in playing are PlayStation only, and I'm not going to buy every console out there, because I am at heart a PC gamer. So I don't want to have to buy another console, but there's a couple of PlayStation only games that I would like to play. And So I'm really, really tempted. I've been tempted for several months now, but I've managed to not click that button. So we'll see. Maybe there will be a really awesome sale for the holidays, and I'll bring home a PlayStation 4. We'll find out.
Yeah. Or maybe the PlayStation folks are listening, and they'll realize what a tremendous product placement they have by putting one of those into your hands so that you can report out.
Yes, because I recommend video games. Well, I used to when I had internet that I could play some, but anyway. Life has caught up this year. I haven't been playing a lot of games. I need to get back into my happy gaming place because I've lost it. But speaking of happy sort of gaming places, sort of goes in with my recommendation this week. This week, I have another YouTube channel, basically, for you. It is another cosplay-centric YouTube channel. I think it's Kami Cosplay. It's K-A-M-U-I Cosplay. That is also KamiCosplay.com is their website, but that's also the name of their channel on YouTube. And it's Svetlana and Benny over in Germany, and they make some of the best cosplay costumes I've really ever seen. They are total pros at it. They've got the laser cutter, 3D printer, all that kind of stuff, but there's still a lot of just old-fashioned hand making of a lot of the stuff that they do. And of course, as any longtime listeners of this show know, I have a fascination with EVA foam armor. Someday I'm going to get some armor made for my corgi someday, which actually they have a video where they were showing how to make a rust effect on EVA armor, but they made the, calling it armor is questionable, but technically it's called an armor in the game, for Dog Meat, the dog in Fallout 4. So essentially, it's basically kind of a back plate that only fits around the torso. It's not like a full body armor with kind of like a handle type thing on the top. But as I've talked about Fallout in the past, Fallout's a post-apocalyptic game. Everything in it, nothing is shiny and new. Everything is old and beat up and post-apocalyptic. And so Dog Meat's armor is the same way. So it's very rusty. Now, one of the best things about Svetlana and Benny's channel is they have two corgis who make appearances in most of their videos, particularly the new ones. So it's amazing to me that they get Zelda to lay on the counter while Svetlana's doing the intro and doing a lot of the talking parts of the episode. And this corgi just lays on the counter, and they put things on her and drape LED lights around her, and she just lays there. She's such a good dog. And none of my corgis would do that. So anyway, they have adorable corgis and cosplay. It's amazing. It's awesome. But she's made pretty much everything out there, all of the armor. She's got an older Wonder Woman cosplay that is really cool. A full one, I think their most recent video right now, is one of some EVA armor that they were making for a PC maker over in Germany who wanted to put it on their model to feature at a conference. And she made the full set of armor, which is really very cool. And one of the things about the EVA armor that she did in the videos is they went through all the different ways to seal, popular methods that you'll find online and in numerous other videos of how to seal EVA armor or EVA foam. And they tested it to see which one held up better and the texture that you're left with after you seal it, which was really very interesting. I learned a lot. Because someday I'm going to surprise all of y'all and actually have some armor for my dog someday. But one of the coolest things is she plays around with LED lights, which has become a recent fascination of mine on how to light. So not only are you making a cosplay, but you're actually lighting parts of it up, because there's always flashy effects in all of these games. And she has some amazing ones. And like a lot of the big cosplayers these days, she has a website where she sells PDF books on how she does a lot of this stuff. And she's just really very personable and very adorable. she always is trying to sell her books in the videos, but it's in the cutest way, and the corgi helps, and they're just really cute. This is one of those instances where it is not obnoxious at all for somebody to be saying, buy my book. So it's really, really cute. And so she has a couple of videos on specifically basic LED lighting. And she's got another video on more advanced animated LED lighting, which is super cool. But she's working on the advanced LED book right now. But there is a basic book up on her website. And I think her PDF books only run about $4.99 a piece. And her videos are really very informative. I've learned a lot from watching just those two LED ones. But the animated LEDs, Kelly, they're so cool. She's on her Instagram right now. They're working on a Nova cosplay. Nova is from Heroes of the Storm. It's a Blizzard character. And Nova has this helmet, a full face helmet, with like this ponytail with these like tentacle type things that are coming out of it that hang basically down to the character's knees. And they have animated lights that run down them. And she's just finished that part of his costume. And it is so freaking cool. So anyway, that's my recommendation this week, is giving you yet another cosplay channel to go look and see people making just really amazing things. She's also, which is another one of my recent crafting hobby decisions, is to get better at sewing. She has a Sewing for Cosplay book and videos on how she sews a bunch of these costumes, because she's actually making full fabric costumes that are very complicated. At least they look that way to me. And she has a couple books up about just the sewing aspects of how to make all these costumes, which is really very interesting because I'm a complete novice at sewing. And even if you're never going to make a costume per se, the techniques that she uses are pretty cool. And it's just more interesting when it's a cool game character that she's making a costume for, showing you how to do something. So anyway, she covers pretty much every aspect of cosplay, making things, making props that you could really ever want to know. And I think she does it in a very cool, funny way with the help of corgis, which always make everything better. So go check her out. It's Svetlana and Benny at Kamui Cosplay, and it's Kamui Cosplay on YouTube, and their website, and also their Instagram. But that's my social media recommendation I'm giving to you early.
Wow, you rolled right into that.
I did.
So that's good. Yeah, that's good to do. Have they done any Night King cosplay armor stuff? I'm gonna need some help there. I got a thing going on I'm working on, and I need a little bit of Night King help.
I don't think that they've done anything specifically Game of Thrones, but I'd have to look back further and see if they've possibly done any, because a lot of the Night King, a lot of the stuff from Game of Thrones to me also harkens back to a lot of stuff that would also work from World of Warcraft. I think there's probably some techniques in there that would do the same thing, but they haven't done any Game of Thrones cosplay that I've seen. But I bet if we looked back through the videos, we'd find something that would be helpful for you.
Okay. I will have to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
More on that later. But yeah, that's the other thing. We'll save this for later. I got some ideas for a future show, but we'll talk offline till we can sort out the specifics of it.
Cool.
So that's cool. Great recommendation. Another one I've got to spend some time with. And you've done your social media recommendation already. So I have one as well. I'm going to kind of move to Twitter again. And this gentleman's Dane Larson. And he's at @ATX_DDANE. So at @ATX_DDANE. It's Dane. His description is dad joke extraordinaire. And so we'll get dad jokes from Dane. Dane is a willing co-conspirator on the great band name bandwagon, if you will, that we like to go out. I've had an opportunity over the past few years to work with Dane. And sometimes we've been in meetings together, and In an all-day meeting where there's really important stuff being covered, Dane and I are busily capturing all the great band names that occur during the meeting and tweeting them out on a regular basis. And so he's a good guy. He's fun to follow on Twitter. He's interactive. He's funny. He's from Texas, by the way.
Cool. We're not all neighbor. Bad people.
Nope. You and Dane, two good people right there. You guys are on a roll.
Yes.
So I'm recommending Dane, and we'll have his Twitter account in our social media recommendations.
Cool. Oh, and on a related note of social media, if y'all have listened to the last several Nurture and Support, you will remember that Kelly has talked about Jamie at Koala Arts. So I recently got in something I bought from her store. And if you look at her website, she has a necklace that is an anatomical heart. And guys, I have to tell you, I think it's $18. And it comes with a stainless steel chain. This is like the best anatomical heart pendant I've ever seen. It's not ginormous. It's rather sizable, but it is very, very well done. Like if you know someone who really, really wants a really anatomical heart necklace, this is awesome. And for $18, and it like shipped immediately. I got it within 2 days. It was amazing. So I would go check out her web store because she's got some really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, the stuff she's got. And price-wise, it's all pretty reasonable. And whether it's these kind of skulls with the crystals coming out of it in all sorts of different ways, mm-hmm. or the anatomical heart, or some of the stuff that she's done for bands, and she's pretty darn amazing. So you really should check it out.
Yep. Koala Arts, and I got a little gift bag that it came in. It was really very cool.
Oh, so, excellent. Very good.
And I got a little Starburst, the candy, but I already ate it, so I can't show anybody. I ate that like when I opened up the package, so it was good. But yeah. Y'all should definitely check that out because I thought it was really cool. So anyway, yeah. And $18, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. And follow her on Instagram because she's starting to do live videos on Instagram, which is pretty cool. And she's active on Twitch as well. So there's lots of different places you can connect up. But she does great stuff. So
she does. So
okay.
Just another aside. Y'all go there check that out.
Yeah. So we'll turn it over to somebody not nearly as cool as Jamie, but he's okay. It's Matt. And he will give you all the information on how you can connect with Nurture and Support via Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, etc. And they'll give you all those particulars. And when he's done, the show's done. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.